Well, good afternoon. It's August 26th, 2023, 15:37 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green, once again with you. Today I'd like to begin with a wonderful little video. I don't want to spoil the surprise. It's from the series Was It Designed on JW.org.
We are naturally drawn to it. Whether it is epic or subtle, artistic beauty captivates us. Sometimes it astonishes us in unexpected places. For example, sea slugs sport bold colors that may ward off potential predators. But to us, these colors form artistic arrangements of stunning beauty. Chameleons are known for their ability to alter their coloring, sometimes to blend in, sometimes to warn, but at other times to attract the eyes of a potential mate. Unrelated animals seem to have gone to the same artistic school, as in the case of the peacock spider and its namesake.
We have to replay that because the subtitles interfered.
Some unrelated animals seem to have gone to the same artistic school, as in the case of the peacock spider and its namesake. Unlike a static painting, many animals use motion to extend their arrangements of color, texture, and form. Few birds can match the flamboyance of male birds of paradise. Mating pairs of Western grebes take artistic performance a step further. They put on intricately timed and precisely executed dances. The ultimate water ballet. Male bowerbirds show an almost artistic sensibility by arranging material from their environment in a manner we happen to find aesthetically appealing. Another animal that displays what resembles a creative impulse assembles an exhibition of immense scale when compared to its size. The white-spotted pufferfish sculpts an intricate pattern on the seafloor sand that we find beautiful. That labors on this underwater installation hopes the female will take note and approve. What do you think? Did the artistry we see in animals simply evolve? Or was it designed?
Perhaps created. Would be another way to look at that. I think there's our map from before. Yeah, our article for today. That's the next thing. But I couldn't believe my eyes almost with the peacock spider. It was so beautiful. And even the fish, that the white spotted puffer fish that made these beautiful patterns on the ocean floor. That was just and even the bowerbirds that made those nests that they decorated so intricately or so thoughtfully, it was just I mean, they actually seem to have artistic taste. It's quite astonishing, really. About the microphone. Yeah, I've tried different connectors and eliminated the long snake from the circuit, for example. And I tried plugging in the preamp into the other wall socket together with the same one, that is the same one, same socket to which the computer is plugged. That was thinking that I was believing, or imagining we might have a ground loop problem. But none of that worked, so it turned out what I hadn't thought of yet is that I've never used this preamp. I never thought to adjust the gain on the preamp. So that was, and that wasn't the problem either. I could boost the gain on the preamp way higher and still get virtually no noise. But what the problem is that all of a sudden, OBS Studio seems to be producing more noise in this particular circuit. Maybe it's because we're getting such a much higher voltage. That wouldn't do it, though. But, I mean, the balanced output of the Behringer 80A8200 would be producing more voltage than a consumer system like an M1 MacBook Pro. So that should allow us to be able to reduce the input. And we have for OBS by something like 10 dB or even more. So, yeah. So I guess that's what, but that was what it was. We had the volume boosted too much. Doesn't really explain it, but we have a very nice noise floor right now. Well, it's not bad anyway. Maybe it could be better. Chapter 5, verse 8 of our article, Born and Raised. Regarding Quirinius, the research of Mr. Ramsey reveals that the only dates in the life of Quirinius viewed to be quote-unquote certain are four. First, consulship in BCE 12. Second, his second governorship of Syria, which is known to have begun in 6 CE. Third, his legal case in 20 CE with a former wife. And fourth, his death and funeral in 21 CE. So we don't know a lot about Quirinius based on that, on those four events. Yet, important events were known in his life before Syria in 6 CE, which was that time of a census in Syria. Another census, which is not the first census, evidently, because Luke mentioned the first census in his account, which we've already mentioned in previous paragraphs. But after his consulship of BCE 12 and before 6 CE, or 6 of the Common Era, which is on the other side of the how do we say that? Past the turn of the Common Era, I suppose. That's 17 years there in which there are important events. These are derived, I believe, from assuming that he is the person described in the document known as the Titulus Tiburtinus, and this assumption also appears reasonable to others. We're not the only ones who think that that Quirinius, is the person described in the Titulus Tiburtinus. These important events include holding prior office in Syria, and waging war with the Homonidenses, in brackets, earning 2 supplicationes in the process, followed by a governorship of Asia, which usually was 1 year. The supplicatio, that's the way it's spelled, is a day or more of prayer rendered in the Roman religion, in this case as a high honor to a victorious general for some great victory. Following his victories over the Homonidenses, his first administration of Syria ended, and Quirinius was assigned as governor of Asia, the dating of which post Mr. Ramsay approaches by eliminating years known to be occupied by the appointments of other known governors. So we're getting to the facts here of secular history, which we need to have in order to get a chronology, because secular means having to do with time. And we can't get any kind of chronology without secular history. Which in some cases can be obtained in the relative sense of time from documents like the inspired scriptures. But absolutely the chronology cannot be determined from these documents, because they had no knowledge of the Common Era. The Common Era was an invention which happened 500 years after Jesus. Okay. Carrying on. We're going to carry on with that later, I hope. In Proverbs 31 and 3, we learn, "Do not give your vital energy to women, nor your ways to what leads to wiping out kings." These are the words of Lemuel, the king, which his mother gave to him. From Deuteronomy, we have chapter 17 today. We've got about 20 verses there. "You must not sacrifice to Jehovah your God a bull or a sheep in which there proves to be a defect, anything bad. Because it is a thing detestable to Jehovah your God. In case there should be found in your midst in one of your cities that Jehovah your God is giving you a man or a woman who should practice what is bad in the eyes of Jehovah your God so as to overstep his covenant, and he should go and worship other gods and bow down to them, or to the sun, or the moon, or all the army of the heavens, a thing that I have not commanded, and it has been told you, and you have heard it, and have searched thoroughly, and look, the thing is established as the truth, this detestable thing has been done in Israel, you must also bring that man, or the woman, and you must stone such one with stones, and such one must die. At the mouth of 2 witnesses or of 3 witnesses, the one dying should be put to death. He will not be put to death at the mouth of 1 witness. The hand of the witnesses, first of all, should come upon him to put him to death, and the hand of all the people afterward, and you must clear out what is bad from your midst. In case a matter for judicial decision should be too extraordinary for you, one in which blood has been shed, in which a legal claim has been raised, or a violent deed has been committed, matters of dispute inside your gates, you must also rise and go up to the place that Jehovah your God will choose, and you must go to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge who will be acting in those days. And you must make inquiry, and they must hand down to you the word of the judicial decision. Then you must do in accordance with the word that they will hand down to you from that place which Jehovah will choose." As we know, it's the temple. Before that, it was the tabernacle in Shiloh. "And you must be careful to do according to all that they instruct you, in accordance with the law that they will point out to you, and according to the judicial decision that they will say to you, you should do. You must not turn aside from the word that they will hand down to you to the right or to the left. And the man who will behave with presumptuousness in not listening to the priest who is standing to minister there to Jehovah your God or to the judge. That man must die. And you must clear out what is bad from Israel. And all the people will hear and become afraid, and they will not act presumptuously anymore. When you eventually come into the land that Jehovah your God is giving you, and you have taken possession of it, and have dwelt in it, and you have said, let me set a king over myself, like all the nations who are round about me, you should without fail set over yourself a king whom Jehovah your God will choose. From among your brothers you should set a king over yourself. You will not be allowed to put over yourself a foreigner who is not your brother. Only, he should not increase horses for himself, nor make the people go back to Egypt in order to increase horses. Whereas Jehovah has said to you, you must never go back again by this way. He should also not multiply wives for himself, that his heart may not turn aside, nor should he increase silver and gold for himself very much. And it must occur that when he takes his seat on the throne of his kingdom, he must write in a book for himself a copy of this law from that which is in the charge of the priests, the Levites. And it must continue with him, and he must read in it all the days of his life, in order that he may learn to fear Jehovah his God, so as to keep all the words of this law and their regulations by doing them, that his heart may not exalt itself above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left. In order that he may lengthen his days upon his kingdom, he and his sons in the midst of Israel. He and his sons, that they may lengthen their days in the midst of Israel. That's the end of Deuteronomy chapter 17. Now we have a reading from Revelation for today, which is chapter 2. This is, again, the revelation given to John by Jesus Christ, the heavenly Jesus Christ. I believe, the book of Revelation was written shortly, a couple of years, perhaps just a few years prior to the book of John. So John received this revelation before he even wrote his gospel. At least that's what has been attested by some. Now, this is Jesus revealing this following statement or series of statements to John. To the angel of the congregation in Ephesus write, these are the things that he says who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Quote, I know your deeds and your labor and endurance, and that you cannot bear bad men, and that you put those to the test who say they are apostles, but they are not. And you found them liars. You are also showing endurance, and you have borne up for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Nevertheless, I hold this against you, that you have left the love that you had at first. Therefore, remember from what you have fallen, and repent and do the former deeds. If you do not, I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Still, you do have this, that you hate the deeds of the sect of Nicolaus, which I also hate. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To him that conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Verse 8, and to the angel of the congregation in Smyrna write, these are the things that he says, quote, the first and the last, unquote, who became dead and came to life again. Quote, I know your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they themselves are Jews, and yet they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of the things you are about to suffer. Look, the devil will keep on throwing some of you into prison, that you may be fully put to the test, that you may have tribulation 10 days. Prove yourself faithful even to death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. He that conquers will by no means be harmed by the second death. And to the angel of the congregation in Pergamum write, these are the things that he says who has the sharp, long, two-edged sword. Quote, I know where you are dwelling, that is, where the throne of Satan is. And yet you keep on holding fast my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, the faithful one who was killed by your side, where Satan is dwelling. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, that you have there those holding fast the teaching of Balaam, who went teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So you also have those holding fast the teaching of the sect of Nicolaus likewise. Therefore repent. If you do not, I am coming to you quickly, and I will war with them with the long sword of my mouth. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To him that conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white pebble, and upon the pebble a new name written, which no one knows except the one receiving it. And to the angel of the congregation in Thyatira, write, these are the things that the Son of God says, he who has eyes like a fiery flame, and his feet are like fine copper. Quote, I know your deeds, and your love, and your faith, and ministry, and endurance, and that your deeds of late are more than those formerly. Nevertheless, I do hold this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and misleads my slaves to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent, but she is not willing to repent of her fornication. Look, I am about to throw her into a sickbed, and those committing adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And her children I will kill with deadly plague, so that all the congregations will know that I am he who searches the kidneys and the hearts, and I will give to you individually according to your deeds. However, I say to the rest of you who are in Thyatira, all those who do not have this teaching, the very ones who did not get to know the deep things of Satan, as they say, I am not putting upon you any other burden. Just the same, hold fast what you have until I come. And to him that conquers and observes my deeds down to the end, I will give authority over the nations, and he shall shepherd the people with an iron rod, so that they will be broken to pieces like clay vessels, the same as I have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. And that concludes Revelation chapter 2, and it concludes our study also for today, little ones. So, it's been a very nice study, I thought. We've got 10 minutes or so remaining. I'm trying to get this done early today because I want to get to bed very early. It's set out early tomorrow morning to get where I'm trying to go to do some testing of my my mouth, predominantly my mouth and jawbone and things like that. But it's a person I've never met before, but somebody who seems to be very much what I was looking for in terms of looking at being able to study acupuncture, modern acupuncture, which has the ability to heal using pulse technology and things that I've never heard of until recently. So I'm interested very much in going there, and that's what I'm focused on now, is getting prepared for that so that I can get up really early enough and prepare, get my bladder as well drained as I can so I can get to my first stop along the way, which is my bathroom stop along the way, and then I can make it there without any due problem. But I've timed it. I've actually driven the route before, so I know what's going on. I took a little bit different route than the one I'm going to, the one I'm planning to take tomorrow. We know how important plans are, and whenever I go on a journey, I plan it to the utmost. I try and time it. If I can go on the time, drive the route and time it myself, or I mean, if I want to be somewhere on a certain day, I want to actually know how long it takes. But with the modern computer technology and with the ability of Google to give us the time it takes to drive from point A to point B, it's quite easy to see, to do. It's quite easy to do all that without driving it. But in my case, I wasn't sure my car was working, so I had to drive it. And I drove it before my car was fixed, fully, before it was fully fixed. I had the charging fixed, but I didn't have the dash issue fixed. Since it's daytime driving, the dash shouldn't matter. But I fixed the dash then by changing the light bulbs on the other side on the passenger, on the driver's. First the passenger, that fixed the charging issue. The light bulbs is what was causing it. Whether they were dead or not, I'm not sure, but they seemed to be causing a very significant drain on the battery, somehow shorting out to ground the charging circuit, and I got no charging. So when those bulbs were replaced, or even just removed, I think, just removed them without replacing them, that solved the issue. Then the replacement is just an afterthought. Putting in new LEDs, which are not like incandescent, they can't cause the same issues. You shouldn't be able to short to ground like an incandescent can. So that's phenomenal. I solved the charging issue, but then I solved the other issue on the other side, the driver's side. Just the signal light and the parking light on the Accord, 94 Accord, on both sides. So on the driver's side, when I replaced those two bulbs, parking and the, in that case, I didn't just remove them. I changed them immediately. I didn't do like I did on the passenger side, where I removed the bulbs first, saw that it fixed the problem, and then put new bulbs in. On the driver's side, I just replaced the bulbs, and that fixed the dashboard issue. I could then drive on a warm day, probably warmer. I think it definitely was warm, a warmer day with more sunshine than the day when the dash lights failed. After one 12-kilometer loop driving the car near my home, the dash lights failed after 12 kilometers. Before changing the lights, after I changed the lights on an even warmer day, drove the car 12 kilometers. The car had just been in for service, so all the cooling systems and everything were, you know, everything had been done by the dealer. So everything should be working really well. But once I replaced the bulbs, I mean, first of all, I had a dash light issue. Dash lights no longer came on. I don't think the parking light came on either at that point, when I had the dash lights not working after driving 12 kilometers. So when I replaced the bulbs, I drove two loops of 12 kilometers. Is it 12 or 6? 12, yeah. Let me think. Is that true? 12 kilometers or 6? The 6 was the half. 12 kilometers, how many miles is that? Is it really that long? I'm going to look it up. Might as well, because I did take the notes, right? So, that's when I did the fixing. So, 12 kilometer loop, yeah. I remember measuring the drive, I guess, was half a loop was 6 kilometers, so I decided, well, it must be 12. So 24 kilometers was enough to heat the car even more on an even warmer day. Must have been hotter. If anything, it was warmer. So if anything, the dash issue should have happened even sooner, because these, when the connections, see, between, when a connection heats up, the resistance between the two connectors, if they're just connected like somehow contact connection without soldering, which many car connections are. Like the connection to the fuses is not soldered, it's just a contact connection. Those contact connections, when they heat up, they increase the resistance. That can drain more if there's any current. It can drain a lot of power, take up the power that would have been required or is required by the dash lights. So there actually might be other issues that are causing these things or causing the car to be so sensitive to the being warm. I don't know. But maybe we can find out what those are. Well, Jehovah, you see. The thing is, Jehovah lets us know what we need to know and when we need to know it. That's what faith gives you in terms of we know that's true when we believe in Jehovah. We know that he gives us the information we need, but he also gives it to us when we need it. So we don't have to be overly concerned about what we're going to need to know tomorrow, because that is revealed to us at the time we need to know, which is the unbelievably beautiful thing about having faith in such a true God as Jehovah, the only true God. So somehow the dash issue is resolved now. Maybe there's a significant drain because of these two light bulbs. So even if I drive it in 100 degree temperature for 10 miles or 500 miles, it might not overheat now. The car might overheat, but the dash lights might still be working. Because these contact connections between different components in a car, when they get warm, that if depending on how warm it gets, of course, but those resistances can become high enough that the current passing through it, since voltage equals resistance times current, if the resistance goes up, the voltage drop across that, the voltage loss, in other words, becomes greater, larger, and it becomes such that you can't have enough voltage when you get to where you're going. The other part of the circuit that needs the voltage can't get it. So that's how that happens, where you can, it's not like a short circuit necessarily, but you could have that if it shouldn't be the case, though, because resistance to grounding, or the resistance between contacts increases. It's not like a short to ground. I had no blown fuse in the location that would have represented the dash lights, so I checked all that too, but I didn't check everything. I just checked a few things like that. So it's our time is up. It's August 26th, 2023. The time is 16:10. I see better from further away. Eastern Daylight Time, 16:10 hours. I'm Ward Green. I want you to know that I love you. And I want to say now that we're going to end the video. And in my behalf, this is Crow. And this is Cassie, my Casio watch, saying bye for now.